Welcome back to Consider This with me, Melissa Idris and Sharad Kutan. We spoke a bit earlier with Tricia Yeo of Ideas about the economic challenges this new cabinet faces. Now, how they respond to these challenges will be crucial to Malaysia's economic resilience. Joining us on the line now, we have P. Gunasekaram, Editor-in-Chief of Focus Malaysia. Guna, thank you for joining us this evening. Now, Malaysia's credibility with international investors have taken quite a bit of a hit. Do you think that the announcement of the new cabinet lineup has helped allay these concerns, at least in the short term?
I think it certainly has. The under the circumstances, it's a decent enough cabinet. Anybody who was associated with court cases was not included in the cabinet, so that's a good thing. And it didn't take too long for the cabinet to be for the full cabinet to be announced. It was just 1 week. In fact, the full cabinet was announced faster than the previous Harapan government, actually.
Yeah. Gunnar, what do you think is going to mark this cabinet in terms of its policy orientation? Do you see, in fact, on the ground, much more of the same from Pakatan Harapan? Or do you see a return, as it were, some people are suggesting, to more solidly Barisan Nasional perspectives on government, on the market, on the relationship between the two?
I think they need to do things in a hurry, especially with respect to the economy, which is facing a lot of problems from the COVID-19 virus, in addition to all the other problems it has, in addition to the ongoing political instability that we have had for the last few months. So those things, I think what investors would like to see is someone taking a firm hand on the economy, leading the economy with a firm hand.
Okay.
That is what they want.
In that case, Gunnar, do you think that we're going to see policy continuity, especially in the management of the economy, or are we likely to have a somewhat new direction under the leadership of, say, Mustafa Mohamad as the minister in the Prime Minister's Department in charge of economic affairs?
I think in terms of policy making, economic policy making, I think Mustafa Mohamad is very competent. He has been with the NEAC before in 1998 during the Asian financial crisis, and he's known as quite a capable and a clean minister. So that's in good hands, and that may be the place where you may have some solid policies coming out from. But on the other hand, I think finance will be. I think it's a good thing they got a technocrat. And Tunku Zafrul was CEO of CIMB Bank, so he should have at least have the pulse of the private sector, and he would be a person who would be able to garner the opinion from private sector about what government is going to do. And also by being a technocrat, he actually also diffuses any kind of political pressures on him. You know, so he will probably just have to take instructions from the Prime Minister and or perhaps the senior minister who would be handling economic matters, which would probably be Azmin Ali,
right,
who's the senior minister in charge of trade and industry.
Gunnar, you know, after the last general elections in 2018, there was a major shakeout at GLCs and public institutions. Now, I'm just wondering, can we expect another round of top brass changes now with this new administration?
I really hope not, because I think most of them are now settled into the position. And to unsettle them again needlessly, in fact, I thought the first round of changes too was very needless, because most of the, except for the GLCs, which needed to be changed, much of the other places were being run fairly competently. You know? So to make needless changes would actually cause a lot of uncertainty. And you don't need to do that. You should change only if there is actually a need to change someone, not if the person is already doing the job well and is already settled with his job. You know?
Gunnar, you say that many in the leadership, at least of the economy, or the management of the economy, have their pulse on the interests of the private sector. But what about the general public suffering under high cost of living, something that the Pakatan... Sarparapan, the government was able to rein in. Do you think they're going to have to play to that gallery too?
All right, I think they would, because in this case here, the Prime Minister's department is the one which is handling broad economy. So this is where things like poverty alleviation and increasing incomes of the people will come into play. But of course, they have to work hand in hand with the Finance Minister as well. But I think what the first problem which faces the Finance Minister is to stimulate the economy under very difficult circumstances. And it may be that he may not have very much firepower to do anything, because the government has no funds, so to speak, which they can inject into the economy at this point in time.
Yeah, so speaking of that, Gunnar, what in terms of the projected revenue shortfall, do you think, what is the likelihood of a return of the GST?
In fact, I hope that they return the GST back, because I think it will be one quick way of raising revenue for the government. And
won't it be deeply unpopular, Gunnar?
I think the GST has been overrated as the cause of inflation in the last elections. It wasn't, because it was implemented in 2015. So the full impact of the GST was felt in 2016. So the GST was not responsible for the price increases around the time of the last election. It has been demonized by the opposition at that point in time as one of the major problems in the economy. But if you look at it, I think something like about 180 countries around the world use the value-added tax as an important addition to their revenue base, because, let's be frank, a lot of people don't pay taxes when they ought to be paying taxes. There's a lot of tax evasion.
That's true. Gunnar, unfortunately, I have to interrupt you there and say that's all the time we have for the show. Thank you so much for joining us and sharing those insights. We're going to be back same time with you tomorrow night. I'm Melissa Idris, with me, Sharad Kutan. Thank you for watching and good night.